Okay, let's start with last week's Parsha. Is that okay? I missed laning last week. You know why? Because our son Yaakov Yedidya was in the hospital with an infection. And I was stuck in Hackensack Hospital for Shabbos. So I missed Kriyas HaTorah, so I have to do a little extra chazar. So the Pasuk says that when Yaakov goes to prepare for his fight against Esav HaRasha, it says, Vayira Yaakov Va'od Va'yetzar Lo, that Yaakov was very afraid. And he was very distressed. And he divides up his camp. Is anyone else uncomfortable by this pasuk? Make you a little uncomfortable? Shmuel, makes you a little uncomfortable? Yaakov Avinu is going to fight against Esav. He's nervous. Doesn't he know that Hashem's on his side? Vayira Yaakov Ma'od, he's so afraid. I understand Esav has more men. Esav has his 400 men, and he's very nervous. I understand it for a regular human being. I understand why this is a very frightening experience. We're talking about Yaakov Avinu. Why is Yaakov so afraid of Esav? And you go on, you read these psukim, and it's so uncomfortable to me. You can tell me you disagree, but in a certain sense, Yaakov Avinu, our great hero, it's so uncomfortable for us to see the way that Yaakov talks and acts when he's interacting with Esav. How many times does he call Esav Adoni? He refers to Esav Adoni, my master. He refers to Esav as his master? He bows down to Esav? A couple of psukim later, V'hu avar lefneim v'yishtachu arza sheva pa'amim ad gishu ad achiv. He bows down 7 times to Esav, being mevatel himself to Esav. No, am I the only one who's uncomfortable by these psukim? That our great tzaddik Yaakov Avinu has to go over to some thug murderer, bandit Esav, and I say, oh, Adoni, and I bow down before you. He's so afraid of him. He's so intimidated by him. There's an amazing Baal HaTurim in last week's Parsha. Listen to what the Baal HaTurim says. When Yaakov says, Im lavan garti, the Baal HaTurim, what does the Baal HaTurim usually do? He does 2 things in Chumash. Rav Yaakov Baal HaTurim, Rav Yaakov ben Asher, the son of the Rush. What does he usually do? What do you find in the Baal HaTurim? You find 2 types of things, usually. You find gematrias. He collects from many Rishonim that preceded him beautiful and interesting gematrias. They're not all his own chidushim. He's collecting from Svarim that preceded him. And the other thing the Baal HaTurim very often does is he'll make links between a word that appears here in the Chumash and appears elsewhere in the Chumash or appears elsewhere in Tanakh. He looks at the 24 books of Tanakh and he says, oh, this word appears only 2 times in Tanakh. This word appears 4 times in Tanakh, and then he shows you how the words are actually connected. So on the words, Im lavan garti, the Baal HaTurim writes in this past week's Parsha, garti beiz b'mesoros. The word garti appears only 2 times in Tanakh. Interesting, he looks at Tanakh as one entity. Not just the Chamish Lachom Shei Torah, but the entire Tanakh is one entity. In the Mesorah, in the 24 books of the canon, the 24 Jewish books, yeah, that make up our Tanakh, the word garti appears twice. Im lavan garti. Anyone have any clue where the other one might be? It's a pasuk in Tehillim. It's okay if you don't know it. V'idach says in Tehillim kuf chaf, oyali ki garti meshach. Woe to me. Oyali. Oyali, says David Melech, ki garti meshach. Because garti is meshach, is dragging on. What does it mean, garti? My sojourn. My dwelling. And I feel like a ger. And I feel displaced. Meshach, for a long time. It's dragging on. Says the Baal HaTurim, Lomar, Bishvil sheYaakov haya yare mi'esav kol kach, v'karo Adoni, because Yaakov is walking over to Esav and saying, oh, Adoni, my master Esav. And he's bowing down to Esav. Vayira Yaakov ma'od, and Yaakov's afraid of Esav. Because of Yaakov's intimidation at the hands of Esav, did Hashem not promise you already in Bereishis Perek Chaf Ches that I'm going to take care of you? What are you afraid of? So Esav has 400 criminals who are escorting him. And he's got a large posse, a bunch of thugs. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by your side. What are you afraid of? Yaakov, you have nothing to worry about. And because you're afraid, listen to this. Look how he links the two psukim. He links the Im Lavan Garti, which again is Yaakov's hakdama to this whole approach to Esav, with David HaMelech's Oyali ki garti meshach, Because Yaakov was intimidated of Esav, because he called him Adoni, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised, I'm going to take care of you. Garam Levanav Shenasu Geirim Ben Umos. All of Gullus came about. Garti Meshach, the reason that Gullus is schlepping on, is because Yaakov didn't stand up against Esav. That he humbled himself, and he subjugated and submitted himself before Esav. Now it's interesting, because the Ari shown him, who learned that the things that Yaakov did were very appropriate. The Svarno, other Midrashim seem to indicate this way, that when a person goes out to fight against the enemy, you should try to do what Yaakov did. You should try to appease, you should try to compromise. But there's another way of looking at it. There's another way of looking at it and saying, no, Yaakov, what are you afraid of? Yaakov, why are you saying Adoni to Esav? Yaakov, why are you bowing down to Esav? Don't you know that you're better than Esav? Don't you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over you, Shmarticha b'chol asher teilech, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by your side? Now, Rabosa, it's not pasha to start talking about, you know, Yaakov doing the right thing or Yaakov doing the wrong thing. We don't feel comfortable when we talk about the Avos that way. And I'm sure if we were going out against Esav and 400 men, I'm sure we would also be very afraid. But you even see, the Rishonim even bring, certainly later Sefer Chassidus bring this idea, but I found even in the Rishonim, you could see that Yaakov is a little bit conflicted. That even as Yaakov is afraid of Esav, he knows internally it's not right. He's bothered by the fact that he's afraid of Esav. How do you see that in the Pasuk? So if you look at the Das Akenim of the Bali Atosfos, the Bali Atosfos in the writings of Chumash, on the Pasuk that we started with, Vayira Yaakov Ma'od Vayetzar Lo. What does Rashi say? Who learned Rashi last week? Vayira Yaakov Ma'od, Yaakov was very afraid, Vayetzar Lo, and he's very distressed. What was he afraid of? What was he distressed about? Exactly, kill and be killed. Rashi says, Vayira Yaakov Ma'od, he was afraid that he might be killed, God forbid, in battle. Vayetzar Lo, and it distressed him that he's going to have to pick up a weapon and fight back. And he might come to kill someone else. Kill a bad guy. But Yaakov's a person who doesn't want to kill. So Vayira Yaakov Ma'od Vayetzar Lo. That's Rashi. Comes along the Bali Atosos, the Das Kin of the Bali Atosos. Ready for this? Listen to this. Amazing. Vayetzar Lo is a comment on Vayira Yaakov Ma'od. Vayira Yaakov Ma'od. Yaakov was afraid of Esav. Vayetzar Lo, and that bothered him. Isn't that amazing? It bothered him. Meitzer haya al shahaya yari me'esav. La'achar she'evticho HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning the Baal Turim says, Yaakov, you messed up. You caused gullus by being mevatel yourself to Esav. And Yaakov says, I know I did. I was upset at myself while I was doing it. Sometimes we make the wrong choice, and as I'm making the wrong choice, I'm thinking to myself, this is such a bad choice. Why am I doing this? But I'm giving it to Yetzahara. I'm not making the right choice. I'm not in control of the decision in the moment. So Yaakov, Vayira Yaakov Ma'od, Yaakov was very afraid, Vayetzal, and it bothered him. Why am I afraid of Esav? I'm so much greater than Esav. My life is so much more important and more significant, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by my side. Why am I being mevatel myself to Esav? He's upset at himself. Why am I saying Esav Adoni? To talk like that to Esav, my master? You're not my master, Esav. You're not my master. I'm Yaakov Avinu. I'm the founder. I'm going to be the one who's the Jewish people carry my name, not your name. I'm going to shape the world. Right? I said and learn Torah. I'm a Yish Tam Yoshev all of them. So what am I afraid of? Because Esav's some big guy. Esav spends more time in the gym. Esav's got bigger muscles. Esav's got a large group of criminals who are going to help him to attack Yaakov and his family. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Shmarticha b'chol asher teilech, a person should have nothing to worry about in the world. This past week was the art set of Rav Yitzchak Huttner. Rav Huttner was the Rosh Hashiva of who knows. Chaim Berlin, Yeshivas Chaim Berlin, that's right. But Futner was a very unique gadol. You see it in his, you learn his svar on the Pachad Yitzchak, you see his writings on the Moadim, especially if you read the volume of his letters, the Igros Uksavim Pachad Yitzchak. And you see that Rav Futner had a very, very unique personality, Rosh Hashiva that he was, very unique way of relating to people and looking at situations in a way that was always a little bit unique and fresh and different. There's a letter in the Igros Pachad Yitzchak, letter 42, Membez, where Rav Huttner says, and again it was his yard set this past week, and I'll tell you an amazing story that brings it out in his own life, that Rav Huttner says, what is the Avi Avos HaTumah Bizmanenu? He writes in a letter, what is the greatest source of Tumah in our time? Timu Kol Hashmanu, we start thinking, on Chanukah there was a lot of Tumah. So Rav Huttner says, in this generation, what's the Avi Avos HaTumah? What is the most destructive mentality that unfortunately many people have? And you see it, it's exactly what's happening here. That Yaakov didn't believe in himself. And Yaakov didn't feel worthy in the presence of an Esav. Now again, naturally he's afraid. But Yaakovina, don't you know who you are? Why don't you carry yourself with greater dignity? Rav Wunder says, the Avi Avot HaTuma Bizmanenu is Zilzul B'Tzuras HaAdam. Is a disregard for what? For the Tzuras HaAdam. I'll tell you an amazing story that brings this out. Rav Wunder himself, in 1970, was on a plane. TWA Flight 74. And Rav Wunder was on a plane that was hijacked. And for nearly 3 weeks, from September 6th until he was released on September 26th, Rav Wunder was taken captive. 3 weeks in captivity. He lost a lot of weight. They say when he emerged, he looked like mamash, a different person. But at one point, the story is told that Rav Wunder, at some point during his captivity, you'll see why I'm laughing, because only Rav Wunder could pull off such a thing, only a Talmud of Slobodka, only a person who understood that there's a Tzuras HaAdam, and even to my captors, I'm not mevatel myself. At one point, they had the people who were being held hostage in an area, and they needed to, it was very hot, and they were hungry. The goal was to keep them alive. They weren't ready to let them die. Again, he wasn't treated so well over the course of those 3 weeks. But they're running around, they're trying to get the hostages something to eat. So they brought them some fruit, and the story is told, they found some, again, I don't know exactly where this was, they brought out some cans of soda, or some bottles of soda. And they started handing it out to the captives. So Rav Wunder looks at this, he takes the soda in his hand, and it's room temperature. And Rav Wunder says, what is this? He says, I prefer my drink to be cold. Rav Wunder, can you imagine? Prince holding him hostage. Rav Wunder says, do you know who I am? I'm a Rosh Hashiva. I'm a Ben Torah. I'm a Talmud Chacham. What is a warm soda for Rosh Hashiva? Where's the Kavod Torah? And they ran off to get him a cold drink or a cup of ice. So Rav Wunder could have a cold Pepsi. It was Pepsi. So he could have a cold Pepsi. This is a true story. This is not, you know, that's a Rebbe Shemaisa that happened, you know, 1,000 years ago, which we can't verify. And this is a fact. This happened in 1970 when Rav Wunder was being held hostage, when his flight, TWA, Flight 74, was taken hostage. He was kidnapped. Yeah? Can you imagine? So Rav Wunder says, that's the Avi Avos HaTuma Bizmanenu, when a person doesn't know how to stand up for himself. When a person doesn't realize, when a Jew doesn't realize, when a Jew walks around his whole life, being mevatel himself to the Esavs of the world. Adonai, bowing down to the Esav of the world. One of my students asked me this week, he said he was going for a job interview, and he had to meet this person who he's meeting for this job. He had to meet him in like a non-kosher coffee house or whatever, and he wasn't sure, should I wear my yarmulke? Should I take off my yarmulke? I said, you have to wear a yarmulke. What do you mean? He doesn't know what you're about. Right? And we asked one of the Rashi Yeshiva in YU and he said, yeah, for sure. He said, no question. He said, okay, obviously he was thinking, a question of Maris Ayin, I'm in a non-kosher store, and I'm wearing a yarmulke. But if I'm not going to get the job because I wear a yarmulke, then maybe I don't want that job. Maybe that's not the right job for me. That a Jew has to be able to go out to the world and to not feel threatened, and to not be mevatel oneself over and over again, right, to the nations of the world, to feel that we have a right to exist. The Klal Yisrael's right to exist. You know, there are many people in the world who question the Jewish people's right to exist. We have a right to exist. We're worthy. We're Hashem's children. Banu matem l'Hashem Elokeichem. If we always quote the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, Banu matem l'Hashem Elokeichem. That's our right to exist. There's a beautiful book I'm reading now. Have you heard of Rebbetzin Machlis? Allah Shalom. The Machlises are known in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Machlis, Baruch Hashem, is still alive and well, and his wife, who unfortunately passed away a little while back. So they just put out a beautiful article, just put out this beautiful, beautiful biography of Rebbetzin Machlis. The Machlises are known for opening their home every Shabbos to countless people. Mamish, an open door policy, and the amount of chesed that came out of that home, and that continues to come out of that home, is unbelievable. She had a shaila at one point. She went to Rav Elyashiv at one point, because she felt, you know, maybe it's not fair to my own family, taking away too much time from my own family. She's 14 kids, I think. And Rav Elyashiv said, no. He said, 6 days a week are for your family, and Shabbos you give to Klal Yisrael. But in another section of the book, she says, she had a different cheshbon. She says, Shabbos is also for family, and Klal Yisrael is my family. So I invite my whole family for Shabbos. Anyone who wants to come, comes for Shabbos. had like 80, 100 people. I mean, it was mamish ain't all the fiyam either. Right? Like the Gemara says in Yoma and Begila and Baba Basra that the makom of the Kodesh Kadashim was that the Aron was Eino Men Amida, that the Aron was actually bigger than the space allowed for, and yet somehow it fit into the Kodesh Kadashim. Right? That it expanded. That Omdim Tzfufim, like it says in Pirkei Avos, and the base of Mikdash, they would stand shoulder to shoulder, and when they would bow down, there was enough room. The Machlis whole Mamish expands to somehow make room for everyone. And more people show up, there's always enough food, there's always enough seats, somehow, it's Mamish Nisim in a flows, that it always works out. Somehow it always works out. So what the Machlis once said, she once said, you know, people sometimes think, like, what does it mean to make it in this world, you know? Maybe I have a certain job, or I'm recognized for a certain talent, a certain this, a certain that. She says, what makes you worthy is the fact that you have a neshama. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a neshama makes you worthy, period. And if you can't appreciate that, if you have to walk around and say, well, but Esav is, you know, he's very powerful, he's very strong, he's very wealthy, I'm very frightened. If you can't look at yourself the way they were put in there, looked into the face of his captors and said, I'm a Yid, I'm a Ben Melech, and I'd like a cold Pepsi, please. Right? If you can't do that, that's a zilzul b'tzura sa'ata. That's a zilzul b'tzura sa'ata. Now the reason I want to talk to you about this, not only because it's this past week's parsha, and again I missed Kriyas HaTorah this past week because I was stuck in the hospital, so I need to do a little Chazar Barabim, but because this is really the story of Chanukah. Chanukah is about a Jew gaining the courage and the confidence to stand up for himself. I want to learn together a little piece from the Shem Yishmuel. Okay, the Shem Yishmuel, the Sakachava Rebbe, from the year Tafresh Ayin Gimel, on the sixth night of Chanukah. This is what's recorded. Shem Yishmuel, Tafresh Ayin Gimel, Lel Vav of Chanukah. He says the following. Hinei Malchus Yavan Arisha Ra Osa Daniel B'demus Namer. We know that the four exiles of Jewish history, Bavel, Paras Umadai, Yavan and Edom, today we're in Galus Edom, the third exile, the Chanukah story, Galus Yavan, those four correspond to many other fours. So for example, Megala Muko says it corresponds to the four fingers of one's hand, and the thumb is Klal Yisrael. The four correspond to many, many other fours. The four Lashonos of Geula. The four difficulties of Yaakov Avinu's life. There's many fours that we try to line up and say, oh, Maisav Asim Labanim, these four correspond to these four. So says the Shem Yishmuel, there's many examples of what the four galios correspond to. The Medrash says, Chazal say, Tohu Bohu Choshech Al Panei Sahom. Tohu is Bavel. Bohu is Paras Umadai. Choshech, darkness, is Yavan. Makes a lot of sense, because Chanukah, we fight the darkness by lighting the Ner with Chanukah. So there's many sets of fours that again correspond to the four exiles. In Sefer Daniel, in the seventh parak, if I'm not mistaken, Daniel has, Nebuchadnezzar has a vision, has a dream. And in his dream, he sees four wild animals. And those four animals, the depiction of those four animals in that dream, correspond to the four exiles. Okay? The third animal corresponding to Galus Yavan that was seen in that vision, in Sefer Daniel, is the Namer. What's a Namer? A leopard. Why is Galus Yavan compared to a leopard? What do we know about a leopard? You have to understand it. It's not by chance, it's not random. Right? That the four correspond to the four. The four tamei animals of the Chumash. And Parsha Shmini and Parsha Re'eh also correspond to the Chumash. You have to line up the pieces. So what's the connection, says the Shem Yishmuel, between Yavan and Daniel's vision of the Namer? So he says the Namer, we know, is what?
Oz.
Is Oz. Have a Oz ka Namer, it says in Pirkei Avos. Be bold, be fierce, be courageous, like a leopard. A leopard, the Chidushei Arim, the first Ger Rebbe, writes, there's a sefer called Sefer HaSchus. So he writes in the Sefer HaSchus, the Chidushei Arim says, a leopard is a very unique animal. There are animals that are much, much stronger, physically, biologically stronger than the leopard, and yet, the Namer has what? Has a certain azus, has a certain chutzpah, has a certain confidence, and courageousness that gives it the ability to what? To fight animals many more times its size. A leopard will fight an elephant. Elephants are much stronger, naturally, much stronger. A leopard will fight a lion. Again, a lion, pound for pound, is a stronger animal. But the leopard knows how to fight with a certain azus, and therefore it'll take on anything in the world, says the Chidush Shirin. Have a oz kanamer means again a certain willingness to what? To be very bold, to be very courageous, and to even have chutzpah to do something that's a little bit irrational, that a little bit doesn't make sense. So says the Chiddush Arim, Al Kain, Yavan, the story of Hanukkah, the Yavanim, our enemies on Hanukkah, the Yavanim were known for their azus. Why would you say the Yavanim were known for their azus? What was the azus of Yavan? What was the azus of Yavan? The Olympics? Okay, so there was certainly a certain fighting spirit that was embraced and that was honored in that society. Interesting, yeah?
They were very into the form of man, to the body.
Okay, very into the form of man, the body. Okay, good. What else was Az? What was Chutzpah? What was Chutzpah about Yavan, yeah?
They took on the empires that were a lot bigger than them.
Okay, initially they took on empires that were a lot bigger than them. Eventually they became such a large empire, but initially maybe they took on empires, right? They took on Torah, right? To have the audacity to think that our man-made wisdom could stand side by side, our man-made philosophy is just as good as Torah. It's chutzpah to say such a thing. To look God in the face and say, I don't understand why your wisdom is better than my wisdom. To be able to create a gullus in Eretz Yisrael, think about that. We don't think about this enough. We're putting there actually in the Pachad Yitzchak on Chanukah has an essay on this. We don't think about that enough. Usually gullus means getting kicked out of the land. The Yavanim wanted to create gullus in Eretz Yisrael. You know what that means? That means on our home court, where we never lose, right? The Yavanim wanted us to lose. I mean, it's one thing when a team loses, Lahavdil, you know, to give a sports mashal, when a team loses on the road, right? It's easier for whoever has the home court advantage to win. So you're going to come into Beis Hamikdash, you're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to create a gullus from within? You're going to start up with us in Eretz Yisrael? In our homeland? On our home court? There's many aspects of Azus, and he says, Kiyadua b'svar. It's known that again the Yavanim have this midah of Azus. But says the Shem Yishmuel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us a great chesed. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always hikdim refua lamaka. Hashem puts into place what? The refua that precedes the maka. That the medicine is in place before the illness comes. Which means what? Which means when we look at the Yavanim, we say, wow, the Yavanim, they have a lot of audacity. They're very brazen. They're very haughty. They're very courageous. They have this midah of azus. So maybe that's Hashem's way of saying to Klai, so you also need to have a little bit of azus. Right? Maybe take your enemy's weapon and bring it into the realm of Kedusha to use it in the right way and use it to serve Hashem. Bring it into Avodas Hashem. You see right away in last week's parsha that Yaakov, the same Yaakov, Vayira Yaakov Odu, was afraid of Esav, Vayetzlo, and it bothered him. He bounced back right away. It wasn't just Yaakov sat there sulking, saying, oi, you know, I'm saying Adoni to Esav, and I'm bowing down to Esav, and it bothers me, but I'm not going to do anything about it. He does something about it. When does he do something about it? In the very next scene. When he fights against Saroshal Esav, when he takes on those who are much greater than him, and the Malach says, wow, Kisarisa Melokim, you've battled against the Malach, Batuchal, and you won. You were injured. It was a very dangerous battle. Yaakov gets hurt. But you had the courage to fight. You had the courage to fight against Saroshal Esav. Who is Saroshal Esav, by the way? Who is this Malach that he by Avik Ish Imo? Which again, Chazal assume is Saroshal Esav. So it's very interesting. Look in the Midrashim. The Midrashim say that we know the name of this Malach. Right? And we know who this Malach is. Saroshal Esav, this Malach of Esav, of Edom, is really the same as what we would call the Yetzer Hara, which the Gemara of Bava Basra says is the same as the Malach we call the Satan, which is the same as the Malach we call the Malach HaMavis. The Gemara of Bava Basra says, I think it's Tezvav or Tezayin, the Gemara says that first the Malach comes to you as the Yetzer Hara and tries to convince you to do an Avera. Then he goes as the Satan and he tells on you in Shemayim, gets you in trouble. And then he comes back as the Malach HaMavis to punish you, to take away your soul. It's all the same Malach, the Gemara says in Bava Basra. So let's call him Satan. Let's call him Satan. That's one of the names. Rav Gedal Yeshur was one of the Rosh Yeshiva and Torah Vadas. Is an amazing thing. This is in a hesped, in the eulogy, printed in the back of the Sefer Or Gedaliah, where he mentions in passing that when Yaakov fought against the Satan, right? When a Jew fights against an enemy, the goal is to what? Is to do exactly what the Shem Yishmuel is saying here. To say, what weapon are they using against me, and how can I use that to serve Hashem? How can I take away the weapon from them and then turn it into what? Into a source of Kedusha. So Rav Gedalia Shor brings a beautiful remez. He says, Yaakov in that fight became Yisrael. Right? Yaakov is the name of the Ekev, the one who's low. Yisrael is the name of one who's what? Sarara, Rashi says. Powerful. The one who's empowered, the one who has a position of prominence. So says Rav Gedalia Shor, like a beautiful remez. What's the gematria of Yaakov? Yud Ayin Kuf Beis, 182. What's the gematria of Satan? 359. What's 182 plus 359? What happens when you take the Satan and you incorporate it into your life in the right way? When you defeat, so to speak, the Satan, when you take his weapon and now you say, I'm going to use that to serve Hashem, Yaakov plus Satan is Yisrael. It's 541 is Yisrael. So when the Satan says, wow, you defeated me and now your name is going to be Yisrael, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, because he was a contemporary, says Rav Gedalia Shor, that Yaakov took the Satan and became Yisrael. So says the Shem Yishmuel, that's exactly what's happening here. The Avanim were known for their Azus. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, take that Midah and use it to serve me. V'hainu demi Midah zu atzma Midah ha'Azus hischila ha'Yeshua. The same brazenness with which Yavon was conquering the world, the same brazenness with which Yavon was attacking and being metameh, the purity of Hashem's wisdom, the Torah, Klal Yisrael, at least a small portion of them, turned around and said, we're going to take that and we're going to use that against you. Says the Shem Yishmuel, do you realize how crazy it was for the Chashmonaim to fight against Yavon? Do you realize how oz you have to be? Have you oz kanamer? You know how brazen and courageous you have to be? Like the Chiddush Shirim said, the leopard fights animals much bigger than it, many more times its size and strength. How big was the army of the Chashmonaim? How big was the army of the Chashmonaim? It's a Rashi in Vezos HaBracha. Rashi says, 13 Jews. 13 Jews. It wasn't even 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 against who knows how many. It was 13 people who took on one of the world's powers. Ki lulei midas ha'azus, says the Shem Yishmuel, if not for the midas ha'azus, lo yitachin shechashmonayu vanav livadam. There's no way that such a small handful of people would have the oz b'nafshem lahotzi cherev shlufa machana kaveid shal yavanim. To take on a world that you're crazy. It's suicidal. But they said, Azus. We're not going to bow down. We're not going to let the Yavanim be metame our oil and take away our base of Mikdash and destroy our Torah. Listen to what the Shem Yishmuel says. Why didn't they? Why didn't they just die al Kiddush Hashem? Like many holy Jews throughout history have gone like sheep to the slaughter. Tens of thousands of Jews, they died proudly as Jews. You're crazy to fight back. You create this tiny little uprising of 13 Jews. How many Jews didn't fight against the Nazis? They went proudly as Jews and died al Kiddush Hashem in the gas chambers. So what gave these Chashmonaim? Where did they get this crazy idea to take on such a powerful nation? Elabasher Oz Midas Ha'azus. Rather, they seized hold of this midah called Azus. Gavra v'sholta ba'olam yiklipas Yavan. And they realized that there was a spirit of brazenness in the world that Yavan was using to conquer the world. And the Jewish people said, we're going to take that midah and we're going to use it to serve the Rabbona Sholem. And that's exactly what they did. They turned everything around and they took that same midah. Have you oz kanamer, again, in Daniel's vision, the namer, the leopard, which is so bold and fierce and fights against animals much bigger than it. And they went and they took on the world. They went and they fought back. And they said, this is our home court. This is Eretz Yisrael. You're not creating Gullus in Eretz Yisrael. To this day, we're still grappling with this. We always have to be apologetic about our right to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is ours, period. Because it's the first Rashi in Chumash. Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael, period. The Jewish people have a right to exist, period. And we can't allow anyone to convince us otherwise. We can't allow someone to look at our Torah values and say, nah, that's old-fashioned, it's a thing of the past. It's time to move past it. What do you mean? This is what we stand for. This is who we are. Now, the Shem Yishmuel concludes, and it's important that we hear this point, that whenever there's a midah of azus, again, it's a holy type of gaiva, a holy type of chutzpah, Right? A brazenness, it has to be balanced out. Because what's the danger of being Oz? What actually happened to the Chashmonaim? What happened to the Chashmonaim? The Ramban is very critical of the Chashmonaim. And Chazal say, the Gemara says, that the Chashmonaim, the family of the Chashmonaim was eventually completely destroyed, to the point that if you meet someone that says, yeah, I'm a direct descendant of the Chashmonaim, you should say to them, you're a liar. That's not true. The whole family was destroyed. What mistake did they make? They were so empowered by this great victory that they took over the Malucha. They took over the kingship. We know, Lo Yasser Shevet Me Yehuda. It's Dafka, the family of Yehuda, who's entitled to what? To Malchus. And because, according to the Ramban and others, because they improperly took the Malchus, right, eventually they went too far. Azus means I have this fierce, you know, fighting spirit. I feel entitled. They took it too far, and eventually it destroyed them. So how do we balance it out on Hanukkah? Concludes the Shem Yishmuel. We know there's a danger to Azus. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Oz panim legehenim. A person who has the midah of Azus, Oz panim, a person who's brazen-faced, goes to Gehenim. A Jew has to be humble. A Jew has to have a sense of bittul, because we're mevatel ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how do I balance out the Azus, the fighting spirit of Hanukkah? How do I balance it out with a proper bittul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The answer is that the Gemara says that they were koveya the days of Hanukkah as what? As days of Halel v'Hodah. Hodah, modim, bowing, submission, being thankful, recognizing something is greater than me, a higher power, is the way that I balance it out. By having that midah of Hodah, it balances out the azus that a Jew needs to have to be confident on the one hand, and yet Hodah to be submissive and to be humble on the other hand. But this is the story of Hanukkah, that a Jew was able, and a very small percentage of Jews felt that they had the right to what? To push back, and to not allow themselves to be bullied by the world, to be very proud to be Jews, to not be ashamed, and to not be apologetic, and to not be embarrassed to be Jews. Listen to this line. I want to read you a line from Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch. Now, Rav Hirsch was a person who fought in his own way, right? Not with weapons in his hand, but he fought in terms of ideas to defend the authenticity of Torah against reformers who were changing the Torah in Germany in his times. And Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch has a sefer called The 19 Letters, where he's writing to someone, explaining to him the basic principles of what it means to be a Jew. And listen to what he writes in letter 15. And if this doesn't, you know, I don't want to, we have to light the menorah in the right time, but if this doesn't kindle a fire inside you, then nothing will. Listen to these words, they're so powerful. It's mamasha, Ne'er Hashem Nishmas Adam, it's hadlakas menorah inside of ourselves right now. Listen to this. He writes, be a Jew, be it really and truly, endeavor to attain to the ideal of the true Jew in fulfillment of the law of justice, righteousness, and love, then you will be respected. Not in spite of the fact that you are a Jew, but because of it. You hear what he's saying? Sometimes people say, right, oh, you're Jewish, but you're still a good guy. Right? The world might say, oh, you're Jewish. Oh, we're like not so into that, but we still like you. Right? That despite the fact that you're a Jew, the world still says, oh, we can be sovel you. We can allow you to exist. It's okay. It's not so terrible. Right? Those are the nice people amongst the world. Says Rav Hirsch, no. If we try to win over favor of the world, if we spend our whole life bowing down to Esav and saying Adoni Adoni to Esav, we just lengthen the galus, as the Baal Turim told us. Says Rav Hirsch, if you want to be respected, then be a Jew, be it really and truly, and then you'll be respected not in spite of the fact that you are a Jew, but because of it. If you stand up tall and say, I'm Jewish, these are my values, people will say, you know what, I have a lot of respect for that. I see that you're a principled person, that you're not willing to compromise on the things that you hold dear. Comprehend yourself as a Jew and disseminate that comprehension by word and deed among your non-Jewish brethren. Let people know. I don't have to be apologetic. This is what I do, and this is what I don't do. And nothing in the world is going to change that. And if you're not willing to give me a raise because of that, okay, so I'm not going to make as much money. And if I'm going to be a little bit of an outsider in terms of the social environment in which I find myself, because I'm Jewish, that's fine. I'll come to the Beis Medrash. And this is where I belong, and I feel comfortable here. And again, I don't feel apologetic. I'm not embarrassed to tell the world I'm Jewish, and that's not going to change. And I'm not going to allow Yavon, no matter how chutzpah and how much azas they have, to think, yeah, we're going to finish off Torah once and for all. The Chashmona Amu said, absolutely not. It doesn't make sense that we should be able to fight back against you. We're so much smaller than you, but we're so much bigger than you. And that's what Yaakov didn't realize when he was fighting against Esav. I want to share with you a little piece from Rav Avram Eliyahu Kaplan. Let me show you a picture of Rav Avram Eliyahu Kaplan. This is Rav Avram Eliyahu Kaplan. He had learned in Slobodka. He was a very interesting person. You could tell right away by looking at his picture. Passed away at a very young age. He lived, unfortunately, a very short life, 34 years. He was a very unique Torah personality, someone who wrote in a very interesting way. He has very interesting essays in here, and he has poems in here, and he has mamarim in here, and he was working on a major, major project to organize the topics of Shas in a very creative way to make the Gemara more understandable and more accessible in an organized fashion. Very, very interesting person. He came, took a important post in a important yeshiva in Germany in the time, and he passed away very suddenly, very tragically, at a very young age. But he has a very interesting piece. The sefer is called Be'ikvos Hayira. And he writes a very interesting piece. Let's understand it in the right way. And you'll see, he explains it very well. The piece is called Al Herzl. You've heard of Herzl?
Oh, yeah.
Herzl's not one of our Rebbes. You know? And yet, says of Avram Eliyahu Kaplan, listen to what he writes about Herzl. Listen, it's very interesting. Hu lo lamadnu Torah Moshe. Herzl did not teach us Torah. Hulo lamanu halacha v'agada. Herzl never taught us a shir in halacha. Herzl never answered and explained an unusual passage of agada, of agadata. Hulo lamanu chachmas Yisrael u'musar hayadus. Herzl didn't teach us Jewish values. You know why? Ki es kol eila lo horu lo me'olam. That wasn't his thing. He didn't know them and he didn't teach them. And we don't respect him as a rebbe. But unfortunately, sometimes Jews, you know, they hang up pictures of Herzl alongside like the Chafetz Chaim ki'ilu. Right? He's not one of our rabbis. But. Again, he didn't grow up in a world where he knew from these things. So he's not one of our rabbis. He was not a person who taught us Yiddishkeit. But we have to have a karas hatov to Herzl. Because he did teach us something which is critically important. Ahu lamanu lomar shtei milim. He taught us that there are two words that we're allowed to say. What are the two words? Words that he said that bizdamnuyot ke'ela asher ad lo, until that point in time, lo he'aznu az, lo he'aznu v'lo yecholnu la'omran ben. Words that Jews were not confident and didn't have the courage to say. What were the two words? Ivri anochi. I'm a Yid. I'm a Jew. Now again, whatever that meant in Herzl's mind, because again, he wasn't a Torah person, but look where Rav Kaplan writes here. He says, "Bebeis haMedrash liYada Amud Yachalnu Lomer Zos Tamid." Herzl wasn't the first person to say "Ivri Anochi." We recognize that phrase from Tanakh. Right? In the base Medrash, standing by the Shtender, liYada Amud by the Shtender, we were always able to say "Ivri Anochi." Yachalnu Afilu Lichtov LeKrozos B'Chol Svarenu Mamarenu. We have countless Svarim that are speaking to this truth of "Ivri Anochi." The Chiddush of Herzl was what? That Herzl told the Jew, "You're allowed to go out to the street and also say Ivri Anochi." You don't have to be embarrassed. You can go onto the world stage and say, I'm a Jew, and I'm not going to apologize for that. I have rights to exist, and Eretz Yisrael belongs to me. And he gave Klal Yisrael a certain courageous spirit that allowed us to go again to the world and to say to the Umas Olam, Ivri Anochi, and I'm not going to say I'm sorry for that. That's who I am. And I'm not going to compromise my values. And if you think there's many more of you, and much less of me, well then, Oz Kanamer, then I'm going to be fierce like a leopard to hold my ground and to tell you this is what I believe, this is what I stand for. And I'm not going to compromise it for anything in the world. So, Chaver, I want to share with you two final points. I want to share with you an insight from a sefer called Binas Yisrael. The Binas Yisrael was written by a tzaddik. Rav Yisrael was the nephew of the Piyaz Etzner Rebbe. And he died in Treblinka. He was killed al Kiddush Hashem, Hashem Yikom Damo. He was killed in the concentration camp in Treblinka. We have two svarim from him called Amunas Yisrael and Binas Yisrael. Again, the nephew of the Piyaz Etzner Rebbe, I'm sure many of us have heard of, the Eish Kodesh. So, his nephew writes in the Binas Yisrael on Chanukah, an amazing idea. When's the optimal time to light the menorah? What does the Gemara say? Mitzvah asa, You should tishka achama, shetichle regel manashuk. The optimal time to light the menorah is from what? From shkias achama until the feet leave the marketplace. Whose feet leave the marketplace? The Tamrudai. Some non-Jewish nation. It's a funny thing. Why are we setting the Zman of the Mitzvah based on them? Soloveitchik had an interesting explanation of the Pursumei Nisa of Hanukkah and its relationship to the nations of the world. But we're lighting the menorah when? Mishetishka hachama. From sunset. And again, I have to figure out, does sunset mean what we call sunset? Does sunset mean Seisach Chochavim? Okay, fine. We understand in halacha there's a lot to figure out in terms of the precise time to light the menorah. But Mishetishka hachama, from the beginning of the darkness, that's the best time to light the menorah? Wouldn't it make more sense to wait till it gets really dark? Like the middle of the night? Why don't we light Hanukkah smack in the middle of the night? Why am I lighting the menorah as it's just beginning to get dark? So listen to what he says in the Binas Yisrael. Ready for this? He says, the mitzvah is from Shkia Zacham at Shetich L'Regel Menashok. What does it mean? HaRemez Bezel Ofen Ischazkus HaAdam Be'amuno Bitachon B'Hashem. There is an unbelievable message. When you light the menorah as it's just starting to really get dark, what are you saying? Ki teikaf bevot tzara ala adam, rachmana litzlan, that as the difficulty is just beginning, as it's just getting dark, yischazik bebitchono b'Hashem, shebevadai yotziu Hashem mimeitzar. You know what I'm saying? I know there's a lot of darkness ahead. I know there's a lot of darkness still to come. But I'm not going to wait till I get to the light at the end of the tunnel, called the Gula Shlema, to finally bask in the light. I'm going to be Oz Kanamer, and I'm going to light the light now, as if to say what? I'm not afraid of the dark that's ahead. I know I'm going to be able to get through this darkness. I'm already lighting a candle of victory before the battle has even begun. That's Oz Kanamer. And when you see that the battle is still going on, and it seems even less likely that you're going to win, as we go through Hanukkah, the second night, a second candle, a third candle, a fourth candle. And as the Gullus drags on and the darkness gets darker, we keep adding light. And the enemies are laughing. When are you Jews going to give up already? What do you think you're doing? You think Mashiach's going to come? You've been in Gullus for 2,000 years. It's not happening. And yet, we have the courage by lighting that candle at the start of the difficulty, at the beginning of the darkness. It's already us, it's having the chutzpah, the holy chutzpah, to declare victory, to say we're not going to compromise for anything in the world. And even though you might be bigger and you might be stronger, superficially, but we're going to take that mid of azus and be oz kanamer, and we're going to use it to guarantee ourselves a victor. So I'll just end with a vart that I think I've told you in the past, but it's one of my favorite insights to Hanukkah. Where do you place the menorah? The menorah is placed, halacha says, keneged the mezuzah, opposite the mezuzah. You put it opposite the mezuzah. Why do you put the menorah opposite the mezuzah? Why is the menorah put opposite the mezuzah? What does the mezuzah represent? The mezuzah is an unusual thing. The mezuzah on the way into a bayis, into a Jewish home, into any Jewish room, is what? Is placed on a slant. Why is the mezuzah placed on a slant? So it's interesting. There's a machlokas rishonim. What's the right way to place a mezuzah? What's the right way to place a sefer Torah in the aron? Should it be placed vertically? We open the aron, we see the Torah standing there. Maybe that's not nice. We make the Torah stand all the time. Let the Torah sit down. Let the Torah lie down. Right? So there are those who held that the Torah should be placed horizontally. There are those who held the Torah should be placed vertically. Same thing, the mezuzah, the miniature Torah scroll that we put on our doorways. Some say it should be straight, some say it should be put down. So in some unusual way, halacha and minhag Yisrael developed that the mezuzah is placed on a slant, representing almost a compromise between the shita that says it should be straight and the shita that says it should be flat. The shita that says vertical, the shita that says horizontal. What's the message, the vart that everyone says, is that when you walk into the home, and you kiss the mezuzah, and you see that the mezuzah is a mix of different shitas. It's compromised because you walk into a home. There's a husband, and there's a wife, and there are children, there are sons and daughters, and there's a big mix. I'm coming in 1 minute. There's a big mix of opinions and ideas and feelings. So the mezuzah represents compromise. But the menorah is put keneged the mezuzah, which means that the menorah, I'd like to suggest, is the opposite message of the mezuzah. It's opposite the mezuzah. What does that mean? If the mezuzah represents that a Jew sometimes has to compromise, and sometimes has to be willing to negotiate, right? But there has to be a time and a place where a Jew says, no compromise, no negotiations. Ivri anochi, period. Havi oz kanamer. I'm not willing to compromise. I'm not willing to negotiate. Timu kol hashmanim shebeheichel, the Rishonim ask, the Achronim ask. Why couldn't they just use the tamei oil? Tumah hotru b'tzibur. Given the situation, they didn't need perfectly pure oil. But the message of Hanukkah is, no, we're not going to compromise. We're not going to use bidyavet oil. We want lichat chila oil. Mahadrin min mahadrin. Show me in the Shulchan Aruch. I challenge you to show me in the Shulchan Aruch where the Shulchan Aruch even tells you how to light the menorah near Yishuv Beis Hillel. It's hard to find. The Shulchan Aruch presents kipshuto that every Jew is going to do the best. And do you know anyone who doesn't? Do you know anyone who just lights one candle per house, per night? I don't know anyone who does that. Everyone I know does mahadrin min mahadrin. Why? Because on Hanukkah we don't settle. On Hanukkah we say only the best. Confidence, with courage. I want my Pepsi to be cold, even if I'm being held by my oppressor, right? And that's the tikkun again that Yaakov made when he fought against Sarashal Esav so valiantly, after he bowed to Esav and he said Adoni and he submitted himself. By Yetzel, it bothered him. By Yira Yaakov Mod, by Yetzel, it bothered him that he felt that way. So I give us a bracha. We should go into Hanukkah. We should stand by our menorah. We should let that light shine out into the streets. And a Jew should be able to look at himself, to be able, again, like Rebbe Tzimachla said, to look at ourselves and say, I have a neshama. I'm a ben melech. I'm a child of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I have the Torah. There are people in the world who superficially look bigger and stronger and more powerful. And look like they make the decisions in the world. And that we just have to, you know, cower in the corner and duck our heads and just hope for the best. But Lamaisa, we have to know who we are. We have to know that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is on our side. Mishmarticha b'chol asher teilech. And if a Kodesh Baruch Hu is walking with you, then there's guaranteed victory. You light the menorah even before you enter into the darkness. Mitzvashem mishetishka achama shetichle regal menashuk. So give us a bracha. We should take that midah of azaz, which could be so destructive, and we should bring it into the realm of kedusha, to have the courage and the confidence to be the type of Jewish people that a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to be. Shkoyach. Lichtig achanukah. Shkoyach.